Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by my good friend and yours, Mr. Vincent Forte.
Oh, the French champagne. The Simthal ale or whatever they drink in Star Trek.
Doesn't he say anything? Vin, how are you?
Oh, excited to be talking about Star Trek yet again.
We have gone through all the Star Trek movies, and today I was thinking to myself, are we gonna do Section 32?
Section 31?
31? Which is mentioned in this movie.
Yeah, no, Section 31 is a real thing in Star Trek. I wish the new movie wasn't, but...
Yeah, people kind of say unanimously that it's terrible.
It really feels like it was going to be a series, then it wasn't, and then Michelle Yeoh had to go and win an Academy Award.
Yeah.
And that feels like they were just like, oh, well, now we gotta make a movie.
And they turned the pilot into a movie.
That's really what it felt like. It was not great. Like, just the, like, it's another one of those, like the Borderlands movie or that first Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah.
Where it's just them trying to get the Guardians of the Galaxy formula.
James like, Gunn, oh, more like James Nunn. Am I right?
Yeah, like James No Fun. Like,
pow!
Got him. Put it on the forums.
No, but I think it is since Guardians of the Galaxy, I think that has been a thing people have been trying to replicate, including and, Marvel.
Yeah. And this was a case where it did not work. Uninteresting characters. Not even really adhering to what Section 31 really, like, there's a whole thing in it where they have someone from Starfleet, like, following the Michelle Yeoh's, like, gang of misfits around with them.
Yeah.
And it's like, why is there Starfleet oversight with Section 31? Like, it's not, Section 31 is supposed to be, like, independent and working in the shadows.
Yeah. Well, luckily today we're not talking about Section 31. We're talking about 2013 Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yes.
A good movie.
Yeah.
I think if you cut out 20 to 25 minutes, you got a better movie.
Yeah. I would even argue if you change the last half hour around.
I would
and do
agree.
Something different.
I think the movie ends and then there's like 25 more minutes.
Yeah, there's a lot of like trying to wrap things up. It definitely does that thing where you're right. Like, it ends and then it's like, okay, well, now there's like the ending after the ending.
You know, when I was watching it, this is the second J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie. This is the second of like the rebooted series. We talked last time about, well, not last time, but the last time we talked about Star Trek, we talked about Star Trek. It's just called Star Trek. This is a sequel to that film. This movie, when I was watching it again this week, and I've seen it, I'd say a handful of times, I do like it. It's a good movie. It's just not a great movie. I kept thinking about The Rise of Skywalker because I kept thinking, because I think that first Star Trek, that's 2009, right?
Yeah.
That first Star Trek is like perfect in a way. And I know it's, and I'm not saying it's the greatest movie ever, but when I say perfect, I mean it's exactly what it wants to be, needs to be, and it does it in an efficient way. And I think the same could be said for The Force Awakens. The Force Awakens, obviously, it retreads the older Star Wars movies, but it's exactly what we needed as an audience, what they needed, what Disney wanted. It's perfect. I still think of the three. I mean, obviously, I think Last Jedi is great. I'm a Last Jedi defender, we all know. But, like, it's just a good popcorn movie. I mean, like, it's a fun time at the movies. The Force Awakens is a really, really fun movie. And I kept thinking about The Force Awakens and then The Rise of Skywalker and then Star Trek and then Star Trek Into Darkness. Because it's a little bit like if JJ is, if you let him be too much JJ, if you let him be JJJ, a third J, then you get this. Which is like everything that was good about the first one, but too much.
Well, and also it's too referential to Wrath of Khan.
Way too much.
Like way too much. Especially when it's like, hey, we're going to do Wrath of Khan, but we're going to make Khan like almost a completely different character, like stylistically.
Right.
And we're going to involve Section 31, which is like, but only like tangentially. Section 31 is not as like huge a part of it as I seem to remember.
Yeah, no, it's not.
So it's like you could have just, again, if you lobbed off the ending that is like a direct sort of inversion of the end of Wrath of Khan, like you could have just done a totally different movie.
In some ways, it's the Wrath of Khan, but also like rolled up with Undiscovered Country, because you've got a villain from within Starfleet trying to start a war.
Yeah, and he's claiming a lot of like xenophobia from the past and.
And I like, besides Khan, the other like villain is Peter Weller, RoboCop, who I think is great, and I think he's great in this movie, playing Admiral Marcus. But then again, but also that's some more Wrath of Khan shit, because there was no need to make him the father of the woman that Kirk's baby daddy, and there's no reason to have her in the movie.
Yeah, there was a lot of that movie got a lot of shit for like the gratuitous, like not nudity, but like when they're all getting dressed and it's like, hey, like you know, I should put something on or whatever, and like
Oh,
she's just
yeah.
got this blue, like bathing suit on, basically, like bikini top.
I taught film theory a few times, and I taught media theory, and I would actually show that scene because it's actually a perfect exemplification of the male gaze theory. Because people have, like all theories, people have simplified it, and they think it's just beautiful female bodies on screen. But there's a third layer. It's male audience member watching screen, and then on the screen, male character who they're identifying with, and then shot reverse shot images or POV images of that what that male is watching. So there's like a three thing, and that's what happens in that scene. Kirk is told to turn around, so he turns around, and we don't see her because he can't see her, but then he peeks, and then we see it. So it's perfect male gaze. But it also, it's a good teaching tool, but in the film, it's so pointless. That's the thing, like,
And she has nothing to do in this movie. Like, she's
nothing.
literally just there. Like, you'd think she's gonna be there to like pay because she's Admiral Marcus's daughter. So you're thinking like, okay, she's gotta like be like the key to everything or something. Anything.
It's weird because it's like you've got the Space Seed, which was the original episode with Khan, and then the Wrath of Khan is a movie later on that's kind of like is a sequel to that episode. But then you've got the Kelvin timeline, which is like an alternative timeline, an alternative universe version of Star Trek. And it's almost like J.J. Abrams was like, I want to make a prequel to Wrath of Khan in this other universe, but it's not the Space Seed. Because in the Space Seed, all of his people are with him, and it's just a totally different plot.
It's almost like they took the idea of Space Seed and like that in the Kelvin time, like that still happened long ago.
Yes.
But now like Wrath of Khan is happening like
Earlier.
in the spot that the original series
Yes,
had
that's a really
Space
good way to
Seed.
put it. That's a good way to put it. Yeah,
It's a remix. Like they basically remixed the whole Khan plot and timeline. And again, like the stuff about this movie that works is all the stuff that's not that.
well, it's almost as if, and this is the truth, J.J. Abrams is not a Star Trek fan, but he loved The Wrath of Khan, and he made a good Star Trek movie just because he's a very competent director, and he worked in TV, and in TV you just direct, you just work with the pages and you make it happen. And then with the second movie, he basically just was like, I want to remake Wrath of Khan. It's so indebted to Wrath of Khan. It even does the ending from Wrath of Khan, but whereas it's poignant and interesting in Wrath of Khan, in this movie it wastes time, it's pointless, and it's completely toothless because you know Captain Kirk's not going to die. So you're like, what are we even doing here,
Right,
guys?
they have this turn where Spock like releases all of his anger and like beats the shit out of Khan.
Yeah.
And then like I guess it was a cute sort of aside at the end to be like, oh well, this tribble is like the key to reviving Kirk.
Right.
But
Which.
like that didn't really but it's kind of a deus ex machina. Like there's no real reason.
Right. And Kirk at the end, well, I mean, look, as great as Wrath of Khan is, Spock's dying is kind it's kind of telegraphed in the beginning with him fake dying in the simulation, but it kind of comes out of nowhere. It's just there's a leak in the reactor and in the core, and Spock decides to go and fix it. And then he dies. There's the glass between them because if you open the door, the radiation would get everybody. And he dies. And then that happens the opposite in this movie. Kirk does it.
But again, we know Kirk isn't gonna die, so it's like, what are we doing here?
I mean, and by the way, Spock didn't die either. He came back to life. But at least that was like the second movie of a revival, and they were old, so you're like, oh, he might die. This is
Yeah,
like,
and you had to at least wait like 2 years to find out like what was really going on, like.
right, you're like, you know, Kirk's not gonna die. So anyway, this movie's directed by J.J. Abrams. It's written by Roberto Orci, Alex Kurtzman, and Damon Lindelof.
Now, I do want to stop you right here because I've had a theory for a while that when we get to these films, you're going to do a reversal on 2 and 3, and I think you're gonna appreciate 3 a lot more this time.
I think you might be right because I could tell you I liked this one less than
Hey,
I
that's
used
exactly
to.
what I was getting at. It seems like you like this one less upon evaluation.
As the audience knows, this whole series has been a journey of I was not a Trekkie and Vin was, and Trek was something I always wanted to really get into, so I've kind of been doing it in real time on the show. Do you think the reversal that's gonna ha that might happen with me, we don't know if it's gonna happen yet, but the re do you think it's because I've now seen more Trek?
Yes, because my main point with Star Trek Beyond was that what I appreciated most about it is that it took things back to like all these movies can like Star Trek can be many different things. And I thought it was interesting that Beyond decided to go with an away mission as sort of
Feels
the
like
big sort of plot device.
it feels like a flavor of episode that there was.
And like on those terms, I thought it was really, really good and like an interesting choice. Whereas this felt more just like, hey, we gotta make another big Star Trek blockbuster.
Right. By the way, I just Googled Star Trek 4. It's still in development hell. I don't
They
know if it's
still, yeah, I don't know what's going
They
on.
still, every once in a while, when you're like, it's surely dead, someone will be like, no, we're still thinking about it.
Hasn't it gotten like close where like I've read reports where it's been like, yeah, we're starting filming like 2 months from now and then you'll like die off.
Right. Beyond was 2016. So we're
Yeah, we're
like,
coming up on 10 years.
yeah,
Like,
that's a long time. But damn, I still want it. And now they're older. Now it would be cool to see, like,
they could do something a little
yeah.
different.
By the way, Chris Pine, I don't know what's going on with his hair in this movie. He looks like Slim Shady. Like he saw the Hi, My Name Is video and he went to
Cut
buy
a little
some.
too, cut a little too short.
But it's also like weirdly frosted.
Yeah, very
Like in
boy
the
band.
first movie he's blonde. And this it's like he's like fr it's frosted tipped. It's weird. It doesn't work. It's not good. By the way, one of the writers here, Alex Kurtzman, is sort of like the head honcho over at Star Trek now. It has the same score by Michael Giacchino, which I love the score. I think the score to these movies is great. I love their Star Trek theme. It begins with them on like a red planet and they're breaking the fucking Prime Directive.
Of course.
Spock is supposed to go. That's the thing about this is again J.J. Abrams. It's all visceral. It's all action. It's all kinetics. So they're on this crazy red planet. Like if you were to say J.J., what's the culture here? What's this planet about? He'd be like, it's red. Like you know what I mean? Like that's the level in which he operates. Which I'm not saying is necessarily bad. He's a visual guy, and so they've got a volcano that is. It's a pretty standard kind of setup, actually. They're a primitive planet. They have tribes, which let's not think too much about what it could be representing or how uncomfortable that could be. Let's just say whatever. They've got a volcano that's gonna erupt and kill everyone. So even before the movie began, I guess they decided they're gonna go drop Spock into the volcano. He's got like a MacGuffin that will make them freeze the magma. Spock puts on a really cool like gold outfit to go jump in the. So it's all like visual. It's very interesting, and they lose their tether of him, and then they're like, well, the only way to save him is if we take the ship and actually go above the volcano and beam him up for some reason. I don't remember. Fox like, no, that'll break the Prime Directive. They'll see me, or they'll see the ship, and they do it, of course. And so the sort of beginning part is like, Kirk and Spock are at odds because Spock told on him. Spock reported what happened, that they broke the Prime Directive, and now Kirk is being demoted and Pike is yelling at him.
They really do a good job of all three of these movies, of like you said, sort of kickstarting it with action,
Yeah.
where it's like, we're just gonna jump right into it. We're gonna give you some action. We're gonna make it feel like these people are already on their 5-year mission. We're not gonna, like, start them off at a star base and then ramp up, which
Yeah.
I guess they kind of get into, but like it starts with action and then we're gonna ramp down, then we're gonna ramp back up.
Right. Spock says the line that he says, I guess he said
Oh
it.
yeah, the needs of the many
Needs of the
outweigh the
many
needs
outweigh
of the
the needs
few.
of the few. So again, it's all like a remix of Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, and Kirk's like, "That's bullshit. I'm gonna beam you up anyway." And
Right. And he's like, I saved your life because I care about you. And Spock's like, you shouldn't have done it. At one point, he calls Spock pointy, which feels like the N-word for Vulcans.
yeah.
It's very weird. He's like pointy. And it's like, oh, geez, oof. Oof,
No, these
Kirk.
pointies.
They still do the thing that I didn't like in the when I rewatched the last movie, which is Kirk's the coolest guy ever. He fucking gets so much puss. We see him in bed with two
Oh
alien
yeah.
species that are like cat people.
Yeah, that was a
It's
little
very furry. There was
that
a
was a little
furry involved
yeah.
in this movie somewhere. But of course, it's two. It's not just one beautiful woman, it's two.
Because he's the fucking man.
He has three ways on the reg.
Yeah.
He fucks any species as long as they look like hot heteronormative women.
Right. If those cats look like
Gender-normative
actual
women.
feline cats, like he
Yeah.
would not have fucked it. You would be like, this is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, and then like it also like resets itself, like because he gets like basically fired, he's like in a bar drinking, and then Pike comes in again and he's like, ah, I found you in a bar last time, and it's like, all right, we get
Yeah.
it. But then Pike dies in a scene very similar to a scene from Godfather 3, where they're at a big meeting and then they're sort of like ambushed. And the movie makes this big, and I like Bruce Greenwood as Pike, but they try to make this like super dramatic, and it don't read. It doesn't. It's not right. Like he dies, and Spock mind melds with him before he dies, and then like Kirk comes over, and it's like in slow motion, and Kirk's like screaming and crying, like, "Oh God, my father figure died!" And it's like, ah, oh, they were that close. I don't know, they were that close.
Should have read the extended universe books.
And so this movie has Benedict Cumberbatch's Khan, which is, what do you think of him as Khan?
I mean, again, he would have been, if you told me this was any other villain, like some new guy they just made up, I'd be like, all right, cool. But once you throw the con baggage on him,
Yeah.
it diminishes what he's trying to do a little bit more.
It also takes a Latino role and gives it to a white person.
That too, a very white person.
A super white person. His last name is Cumberbatch.
Yeah. And
And
again, like he does, like
he
I
does
like
fine. He's
the way he
good.
plays it, like he's very cunning and like, but again, like it doesn't even start out with him at, like you don't really find out he's Khan until like the last third of the movie
But if you
because they keep
remember at the
playing it up
time,
as like, oh, he's John Smith or whatever.
John Harris.
John Harris.
If you remember at the time, though, this was the worst kept secret.
Oh yeah. You're like, no, he's not playing Khan. Don't worry, but he's not playing Khan. And then
In
like you just
the
said
movie, he's like,
before.
I'm Khan, and we're all supposed to gasp.
Yeah, they have that. Well, two things. They do have that moment where it's like, it's Khan. It's like, oh my God, like it's Khan, the guy we knew he was playing the whole time. But
Right.
like, even to your point that you brought up a couple minutes ago, like the second Spock says the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few in the first like 2 minutes of this movie, you're
Yeah.
like, okay, I can already see what they're doing.
Right. I would even, and this is weird considering this is supposed to be a rebooted series, I would even say that this movie wouldn't have the same impact if you haven't seen Wrath of Khan.
Yeah. I would agree with that. What do you feel about, because this always like kind of irked me, about them bringing back Leonard Nimoy, like double dipping.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I love him in the first movie, the 2009 one. He is so not needed in this movie. I don't. They bring him back for such a stupid reason, just for old, young Spock to be like, "Hey, can you tell me about Khan?" And then he's just like, "Khan is one of the worst foes we ever had." And I guess he tells him
It's a
about
weird
him
exposition
killing
dump.
himself, right? I think that's what we can infer. Like, what we don't see is like, because he says like, "How'd you beat him?" And then it cuts. So I guess like young Spock knows that older Spock gave his life. I think that's what
Yeah.
we're supposed to take from it. And even old Spock's like, well, you know, and I told myself when I met you, I told myself I can't tell you important things about our life. But it's also weird because they're not the same guy, really. They're in different universes.
Right, and also he reneges on that immediately. He's like, "Well, there's one case.
He's like, but on
I'll
the
tell
other
you
hand,
everything I know about
here's some
Khan."
exposition. Yeah, it's completely pointless.
And not to cut you off, but like the thing that always irked me is there's no, not only is there no reason for it, but unless I missed it, because I remember when I first saw this, I thought I missed something, and like rewatching it again, I don't think I missed anything. Like, there's no like montage where he's like, figuring out how to call like Spock Prime or anything.
Right.
Like, it just goes from like, "Oh, I should contact Spock," to like, "Oh, now he's contacting
Yeah,
Spock." Like, so we have
does
this
Spock just
technology where
live
he
in this
can
universe
go.
now?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, did I miss something in the last movie? And like, Spock is living in this timeline now? Because I
I
thought he
guess it
went
would make
back.
sense because he does come through like the portal with Nero.
But didn't he go back through a portal at the end of the? I
Oh, I don't
don't.
know. It's all
They could have made it a little more clear.
it's
Like,
pointless. I mean, you already had it. You already did it in a really cool way in the first movie. Why do it
right.
again with a sort of lesser cameo when he's just on the view screen? And it's just again, I'm editing the movie as I'm watching it. I when I put it on, I saw it's 2 hours and 12 minutes. I was like, oh, that's no good. So in my mind, I'm
Yeah.
like, cut this, cut that. We could trim
Yeah,
that.
there's a lot. It's not even like, as you said, cut 25 minutes off. I know we talked before about like how they could redo the ending and everything, but like the meat of what they needed to cut was like all the exposition in the middle of the movie to try and either explain what's going on or obfuscate the fact that John Harrison is Khan.
Right.
Like,
It's
get all of that, like, clear, vacuum all of that shit up out of the movie.
but like you said, he's like not Khan, right? Because
He's very erudite and like
right,
British.
he's genetically altered, right? Which Khan was. And he's super strong. Like when Kirk finds him, he's mad about Pike dying, so he like wails on him, but like obviously none of the hits even hurt Khan.
Yeah.
And then they say like he's kind of like villainous, but like he's this Khan is like a is like Hannibal Lecter. He's even in a Hannibal Lecter like translucent like or transparent cell, like
Yeah.
the glass. But like this one, he's just a killer. Like this Khan is like a cold-blooded like psycho, whereas I think the original Khan was like a kind of like guerrilla revolutionary. Like he killed, but
Right.
he had a reason. Like he had
He
a
was
point
trying
with
to
him.
like save his people and his augments and
Right.
like,
He believed in things.
because at the end of Space Seed, like the whole thing that like leads into Wrath of Khan, like the whole through line is that they gave him his own planet and then
Right,
just like
for his
never checked
people.
in on him.
Right. Yeah. And in this, his people aren't even there. They're like a MacGuffin. Like they're inside these. It's so convoluted. I don't
Right,
want to get into
they're
it.
still in the Space Seed portion
Yeah.
of the story,
Right. And they're
where in the
inside.
original series they find these tubes that these people are in.
Yeah. In this,
So
they're
again, they're
inside
like cross-pollinating the
Kinos.
storyline.
Yeah. And it also doesn't make sense because what we're told is that they're found, the people in the cryogenic sleep, whatever, are found by Peter Weller's character, and he un I don't know how he knows which one is the leader, but he unfreezes Khan and I guess somehow season Khan, well, this guy's crazy, so I'll make him work in Section 31, and he's like working making weapons for Starfleet, like secret weapons for Starfleet.
Yeah.
because Peter Weller wants to have an all-out war with the Klingons.
Right, who we see like a tiny bit of in this movie.
I wanted to ask you, you've watched Picard, right? Is this movie the beginning of the like new style Klingon?
No, that's in Discovery.
Okay, because they definitely don't look, they definitely look different in this movie.
Right, they definitely like moviefied them. Like they made them big budget. Like we're
They've
going
got
to do a
that like
different.
sleek thing. They're less like, I don't know, they're
Less
less deformed.
ridgy.
Yeah, bridgy is a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah, but again, like this is another thing where I wish there was more Klingon in this movie because we get a little tease of it, and it would have been cool to have
A
like
Klingon
have an
villain, why not?
intrigue, or like some intrigue where the Klingons are involved more, other than it having to be like Section 31 and Admiral Marcus cutting a deal with Khan to do something that we're there.
It's
Like
too
this movie's
much, not
very
enough.
vague.
Well, it could have just been a straight Klingon story because the first one is a Romulan story. So
Yeah.
this could have been a Klingon story. Why not? I mean, this is a rebooted series. Why not come out strong with a Klingon story? But it's like they go back, they go out of the way to like bring in Khan, but it's very convoluted because it would, I mean, like, what
You know what
sense
I'm
does it make?
realizing? You know what I'm realizing in real time? That this movie is really lifted up by how it looks and the special effects and the action.
Yeah.
Like visually, this movie looks great. It fits the part. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
The plot is just like I don't care.
Like the Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing with J.J. Abrams. Whether he has a good script or a bad script, he's gonna make it in
He's
in
going to
a
film the script.
yeah, he's and he's gonna make it shine, he's gonna make it glossy. So try to get him a good script because if not, he's just gonna make what you give him. He's
Yeah.
like Ron Burgundy. He's just gonna read what's on the prompter. You know what I mean? Like, he's not the guy, even though he touts himself as being like very into narrative and story and the mystery box and blah 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 blah. He's not really that much of a story guy or a character guy. And he's not gonna go and say, this doesn't make sense. He's not gonna go, wait, why
Right, he's there to
would the
do a
Sith
job.
make a knife that somehow matches up with the remains of the second Death Star that crashed, and then but then you hold the knife up to it from a certain angle, and he's not gonna ask that. He's gonna go, oh,
No.
cool knife. How do I make this knife look cool?
Yeah, like, oh, we could have a big action scene with Khan and they're flying through the city and Spock's gonna punch him a bunch of times.
Yeah. It feels like this movie, if there's any characterization, it's that they're like still trying to deal with like Kirk having daddy issues.
Yeah.
His dad died, and then Pike is like his kind of his
Surrogate
dad,
dad
and then he dies, and then like Admiral Marcus is like pseudo dad, but he's bad.
he's evil.
He keeps
Yeah.
calling him son when he's trying to like gaslight him. Let's see. So Carol Marcus. So if all right, so Carol Marcus is Kirk's baby daddy, baby mama, I'm sorry. In The Wrath of Khan, the second of the original films, we meet Carol Marcus and she has a son that we learn is Kirk's son. They had a relationship in the past and then they didn't work out, so Kirk was like, "Oh, I stayed away because I thought that's what you wanted." Blah, blah, blah. And it introduces the son character, who then dies unceremoniously in The Search for Spock. So they bring in someone in this, and she's like, my name's Carol Smith. And she comes on board the ship, and you're like, well, we
Like
know the name
something's up.
Carol,
Yeah, you wouldn't
and
put
we've
a
already
Carol in
met
here.
Admiral Marcus, and obviously this is a fucking riff on Wrath of Khan. It's almost like they did the thing with Khan twice. Twice they give you a character that you clearly know who it is, and then you're supposed to be shocked.
This is like if you took a movie that was set on normal, like a video game,
Yeah.
and then you were like, let's turn this dial down to easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like, oh, we're gonna give you the clues and like you got it? You got it yet? Oh, he's Khan. You get it?
yeah.
Carol.
And
There's a Carol here.
it assumes this audience is really fucking dumb, but also remembers the old movies enough that they'll enjoy this.
Right, it's a very weird tightrope walk that they're trying to get away with,
Like, there's only
because
ever
it's
been
like
one.
you because it's like if you have cursory, like if you've seen Wrath of Khan, then nothing in this movie should surprise you. But if you haven't seen Wrath of Khan, then you're gonna watch this, but then you're eventually gonna watch Wrath of Khan and be like, this is a much better movie.
There's only ever been one person in Star Trek named Carol, as far as I know. There might be a Carol later on that I don't know about.
Yeah, is it the Horatio Sanz character?
So you meet this Carol and you're like, oh, that's a pretty blonde lady. That's got to be Carol Marcus. She's also a scientist like Carol Marcus was. And but even her thing, her she sneaks on the ship because she
Right, because
suspects that
she's
her
got daddy issues.
right, and she suspects her father is up to no good.
Which means he is.
Right. It's sort of convoluted. All right, let's talk about some things that are good. I really like the sequence where they have to sneak on, they have to sneak from the Enterprise to Marcus's ship, which is like a giant ship.
Yes, and then they
And
have to get back.
right, and they can't transport. So they have to put on spacesuits and open up the airlock and literally like space fly from one ship to the other, and they need Scotty, who's snuck on the other ship, to open up the other airlock so they don't just hit the ship and splatter. It's a
Yeah.
really cool action sequence.
Yes, again, like scenes like that are what propel this movie. Because that's a whole set, like what you're describing is a whole section, like a whole 20-minute section of this movie, if not longer.
You're right.
And
It's
it's like
a
stuff like that that keeps you coming back to this movie, not the
it's
plot, not the
yeah.
whatever character development there is.
It's a
Like
nice
it's the
juicy,
action.
yeah, it's a nice juicy set piece. It's very cool looking. I mean, it's everything JJ does great. It's fast, it's cool looking. You've got momentarily Khan and Kirk are working together, and Kirk knows that Khan is eventually going to turn on him, but he's like, he thinks he's using me, but I'll use him. They're in cool suits. There's a lot of cool suits in this movie, and it's very like Iron Man actually, because when they like shoot out of the airlock, you get the idea that they're propelled because the airlock will suck you out. If we've learned anything from Alien movies, the airlock will suck you out.
Right.
But then they've got like I guess like thrusters or whatever, because like you see them like squeeze their hands, and like squeezing your right hand makes you turn right a little bit.
Yeah, they've got like steering mechanisms.
Yeah, and on the sort of on their helmets, they can see like a path they're supposed to be on. So it's like Guitar Hero. Like you've got to like match up with where you're supposed to go. Yeah, it's cool. It's a very cool scene. It's a very cool scene, and I like it works well. I like on the other side, Scotty's got to like press the button, but then some big security officer comes up to him and he's like, "What are you doing?" And Scotty's like mumbling. And he's like, And it's like, oh, is he gonna open the door? Is he not gonna open the door? Simon Pegg is, of course, charming and funny as Scotty. Scotty's whole thing in this movie is weird. Scotty won't sign off on these torpedoes that they're told they have to use on their mission. And later on, these are the torpedoes that you find out are actually the space seed people. So he was right. But then, like, Kirk calls him. He's like, I need you to come back. And then he sneaks onto the other ship. I don't know. It's almost like, in the old movies, sometimes they wouldn't give enough to the ensemble.
This time they're kind of giving too much in weird places.
Yeah, there's too much. Because we also still have Spock and Uhura relationship going on, and now they're like
Yeah, which
fighting or something.
I wish they wouldn't.
You wish they just completely forgot that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, like I said with the first one, Uhura's a great character, but like it sort of relegates her to like her one character trait is she's Spock's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like everything, like she does
Yeah.
not pass the Bechdel test. Like all she ever does is talk to or about Spock. But Peter Weller's cool. I like Peter Weller.
Yeah, it's good to see RoboCop in something. Do you think Peter Weller demanded Oreos on this movie too?
He denies that that happened.
Well,
Can you
the
tell our audience about that?
Oh, yes, the So there's this RoboCop documentary that came out within the past like 2 years. And in it, one of the prop I guess like one of the prop masters tells this story where he's standing on a ledge, Peter Weller is in the RoboCop gear, and they've got like he's got a gun and he's like about to do a big stunt where he jumps off a ledge. And the guy comes up to him to hand him the gun. And he goes, "Here you go, Peter. The gun's hot and we're ready to go." And the guy giving him the gun has like a little stack of Oreos. And he's like, and then Peter Weller just keeps yelling, "Robo wants Oreo." He's like, "Your name's Peter and you can't have an Oreo." He's like, "Robo wants," like, "No, Robo can't have an Oreo. If Peter wants an Oreo, Peter can ask for an Oreo. But Robo can't have an Oreo because Robo's not a real person." And then he gets so fed up that he like just the prop master puts all the Oreos in his mouth and crunches them as they fall to the ground. And then he
Yeah.
just, RoboCop's just yelling like, "Robo wants Oreo," and they have to like stop the scene, like
Yeah.
get him Oreos.
And then it cuts, the documentary cuts to Peter Weller, and he's like, "That's bullshit. That never happened." But you know what?
That's my favorite part at the end. They cut to Peter Weller. He's like, "I love the guy. I've known him my entire life. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I don't remember the Oreo thing. Don't remember it."
Yeah. All right, so we have a problem, which is there's something wrong with the warp core, and in perfect J.J. Abrams logic, we gotta kick it. We need to kick it in. That's what needs to be
Yeah.
done.
We need to boot up the Beastie Boys.
Yes, and kick it in. So Kirk runs down, goes in, gets the radiation. This is the Spock scene from Wrath of Khan. Kicks it in. He dies. They make a big deal out of it. Even though we know he's not going to really die. And then Spock does the famous thing that William Shatner did in the original movie. He screams Khan.
It's a weird moment. I did
It's
not
like a
like it.
meme. It's a meme.
Yeah.
It, you know, like.
It's not as bad, but it's like the no, like it's like the Darth Vader no.
It's like there's a difference between an homage and a meme. Like, do you remember in. I haven't seen the whole movie, but like the third X-Men, when
I'm the
Juggernaut's like,
Juggernaut, bitch.
right, that's a meme. They made him say
Yeah.
the meme. They having it almost feels like a joke. Like we're not even taking it
Yeah.
seriously. Having him scream Khan like that, it's not an homage. It's a joke. It's a meme. It's stupid. But then Khan fucking crashes into, I think they're in London or whatever. It's cool to see the ship crash into a city. That
There's
was
a lot
pretty
of
cool.
great city destruction at the end of this movie.
But then this is all the stuff that I want to cut. This is now Spock is chasing Khan because he's mad because Khan killed his best friend.
Yeah, there's a
And they're
lot of
like on a
chasing at this
space
point.
bus and they're fist fighting. And again, I kept thinking about the scene in Rise of Skywalker where Rey and Kylo are having that lightsaber battle like outside of the wreckage of the Death Star. It just goes on, and then they find, yeah, there's a tribble in it, which we don't, who knows why. We don't need a tribble. It's just to be like, look, guys, it's a tribble. But they see that the dead tribble was brought back to life by Khan's blood. So they're like, Spock, you need to get some of Khan's blood so we can bring Kirk back from death.
It's like, I guess we can do that now.
Yeah, and then it's like a 25-minute, that's a little adventure. Like, we're done here, folks. Like, you
Yeah.
don't need, you were saying before, the third act could be fixed. How would you fix the third act?
At first, by cutting out that chase scene,
Sure,
and
yeah.
then kind of just ending it when he's punching Khan. Like I would even go so far as to say like he's punching Khan, and he's letting his emotions get the best of him, and then maybe like. His friends have to stop him from killing Khan.
So he punches Khan at the end of the chase. You're saying don't have the chase, just have him
Don't
run
even
up to
have the
Khan.
chase. Have him like you can have like a little chase, but like not the chase that they had.
It not like this movie's full of set pieces. This is like a
Yeah.
15-minute set piece.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe like a 5 minute thing. He gets off the ship, he's like running amok, and like Spock gets a hold of him.
Yeah.
But like the rest of the crew can't get a hold of Spock quite yet. So it's like, what's Spock gonna do? And he lets his emotions get the better of him and he's gonna murder Khan. And then like they stop him. And then now he has to reckon with the idea that like, okay, I didn't kill this guy, but like I was about to kill this guy. Like, what
And
does
he
that
let his
mean?
emotions out. He let his human
Yeah.
side out. Right. Because that also deals with his story with Uhura. Because she's like, when she's mad because he was going to sacrifice himself in the volcano in the beginning. And she's like, you didn't even think about me and how that would affect me.
Yeah. These women, all the me, right?
Oh my God. Why don't you pass the Bechdel test for once?
Yeah, well, you really.
Yeah. You know, cut out the chase, cut out Kirk dying. Cut out Kirk dying, because you don't need to
Don't
chase
even
him
do it.
because of that.
Don't
Like,
even
let it
do
be
it.
over. We
Have Kirk be the one, or Uhura to be the one to like stop him from killing Khan.
Yes. We already killed Marcus. Like, we won.
Right, we already killed like the real big bad guy.
Right. We don't need this now. Cut it out. And it ends with like Kirk giving a speech, and he goes, you know, he's talking, oh no, it's the funeral of Pike.
Right.
And he's like, you know, I remember the first time I said the captain's oath. And it goes into the space, the final frontier. Is this retconning the captain's oath? Has this always been the captain's oath?
No.
It doesn't even make sense as the oath. Like, it's more like an introduction to a TV show. Like, what?
Right. Exactly. Like,
Also,
I
the oath.
guess that's
Yeah.
a meme, I guess, is it? Because like they're just taking the thing that
It's the
they
thing,
said,
guys. You know the thing?
right? Like at the like in the final episode of Star Trek Enterprise, it kind of, which sucks, but they do have a like one sweet moment at the very, very
Yeah,
end.
I've seen this.
Yeah, where it's like every starship, like you get to see sort of a cut, like a super cut of all of them, and like you hear each captain recite like a part of that speech. And it's like, I guess by this point, it's just become like the thing where it's like, oh, like they said it in the first show, so
Right.
now like we're all saying it.
Right. But as I'm now thinking of it, in this movie, they're not yet on their 5-year mission. It at the very end, you see them on the Enterprise, and Kirk is like, 5 years, here we go. And,
Yeah.
but they say in this so-called oath, they say our 5-year mission.
So that's just the captain's like, so no captain does more than a 5-year tour of duty.
It's just stupid.
But like you said before, they weren't thinking about that. They
No,
weren't
they weren't.
thinking
No,
that
right.
far in.
JJ's not going to ask a question like that. He's going
Yeah.
to say, what's the funeral going to look like? How cool is the coffin going to be? Can we
Coffin.
put some sexy cat ladies in
Yeah.
it? How about all the pallbearers are sexy cat ladies?
Yeah,
Like, God damn it, JJ.
Paul Bearer's out, pole dancer's in.
Yeah. But this is all right. So we were ragging on it a lot. This is an entertaining film. It's still
Yeah.
better than how bad some of the bad original Star Treks get. I'd even say it's better than, like, Search for Spock, which is a movie that could be good but isn't.
I would put it above Search for Spock.
Yeah.
I put it firmly in the middle, somewhere like floating around the middle.
But of these three, you'd put it last.
Yes.
Okay. So that's what we'll do next. We'll do Beyond. And then we're kind of done.
Yeah,
Unless we
unless
do
we
Section
want to do.
31.
Yeah, I think we're probably the next. Where are we
I
going
have
to
to
go after the
watch
movie? Are
Next
we going to
Gen.
do Next Gen? Yeah, we'll do
Yeah,
season
that's
by
what I have to
season.
do. Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe we'll do
Well,
that as seasons instead of the whole series.
yeah, exactly. We'll do season by season.
No.
And it'll be interesting to see your reaction to season one now that you're committing yourself to it.
Okay. Well, then we end the episode by saying the PCMC oath.
Go bye bye.